2 Corinthians 9:7 reads, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Hi, I'm Rob West with some questions for you. Is it more important to give consistently or in a way that pleases God? And can you do both? I'll answer those questions today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, I'd first like to thank our friends at Christian Stewardship Network for a terrific article on this topic, Giving That God Accepts, and we'll put a link to it in today's show notes. Okay, now as Christians, we should be committed to doing things the right way. Christ with perfect righteousness is our role model, but our fallen sinful nature often leads us astray, not in trying to be righteous, but more often in the reason why we try to act in a righteous way. If we're doing it to prove ourselves to God, we go astray. And it's in giving, perhaps more than any area of life, that our attempts at righteousness miss their mark. In one sense, that's understandable, because giving involves numbers that are easily totaled up. Our giving provides proof, to us at least, that we're doing the right thing. Other righteous acts, like prayer and worship, are less concrete. We may wonder if we're doing them enough, but we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. That's not the case with our giving. The numbers speak plainly. Do you frequently check your watch as you study God's Word or pray, pressing on until you can prove to God and yourself that you've committed enough time? I certainly hope not. That's a poor way to show your faithfulness, as it would be with your giving. But because giving always involves a specific amount, it's far too easy to think that giving more means we're more spiritual. We think that giving 15% of our income requires more faith than giving 10%. So, what sort of giving does God accept? Well, we can look to King David for an example of a generous giver. David likely gave billions of dollars worth of treasure to build the temple in Jerusalem. But it wasn't the size of the construction budget that pleased God. It was the way that David gave to complete this massive project. No amount of giving can sway God one way or the other. He already owns 100% of anything we give back to his kingdom. He doesn't need the money. What do you give to someone who has everything? Well, to quote David in Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." You see, God owns everything because he created everything. He's completely self-sufficient and needs nothing from us. But he does want to have a relationship with us. God requires us to give a portion of what he gives us back to his kingdom because he wants us to be a part of it. God made us in his image, and he desires relationships. So he made us that way, too. And that's how we need to understand giving. David understood this, and we'll see in Psalm 51 how he acts properly. Let's set the stage. The prophet Nathan had called out David for his adultery with Bathsheba and sending her husband Uriah off to die in battle to cover his sin. That takes place in 2 Samuel 11, and in verse 15, David tells his battle commander, "Set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die." Now, obviously, David sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah, but he understood that his sin, born of covetousness, was ultimately against God. Now to Psalm 51 and verse 16, where David reveals something about God that should direct us in how we give. He writes, "You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering." If money could buy God's forgiveness, David probably would have given everything, but he knew God wouldn't accept his gift, however extravagant. God wanted nothing material from David. David goes on to write, "The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." That's what God desires from us, a broken, repentant heart. And that's what David gave him. You see, we must let that be the basis of all we do, including our giving. We can mislead ourselves into thinking that our gifts, in and of themselves, please God and qualify us for his blessing. True, he's pleased by our generosity, but only if it's accompanied by a repentant and broken spirit. Ultimately, God accepted David's offering, and that's why David is called a man after God's own heart. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The book of Ecclesiastes is a difficult book to read. It tells us in many ways that the wisdom of man just isn't enough to bring ultimate satisfaction. It wants us to learn wisdom, the wisdom that says life sometimes is unfair, that God's people don't always have a good life in this world. But within this bleak outlook, Ecclesiastes reminds us that there is a time for everything. A time to die, a time to live, a time for joy, and a time for fears. Why is that? Because the Lord has made everything beautiful in its time, and He has set eternity in our hearts. That's the answer, the eternal hope, found only in the Lord, our Lord, Jesus. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This week on Truth For Life, learn to view the world through the filter of the Bible and view yourself in light of God's holiness. Find out why you can trust and praise God in the bad times as well as the good. That's on Truth For Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth For Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you with lines open 800-525-7000. This is your time, right? We want to set aside this hour for you to be able to call in with whatever you're thinking about. Let us help you process your financial decisions and choices through the lens of Scripture, through a biblical worldview, and we'll see if you can move forward with confidence. The number to call right now with lines open is 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's begin today in Florida. Hi, Milton. Thank you for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, hello.
Hi there. Go right ahead.
Yes. Yesterday, I asked you a question about buying a house for the first time, and the bank was asking me telling me that I had to buy points in order to get my interest rate down. So I would like to know what is the actual situation, if it's a convenience or is it necessary to buy the points like they were telling me about?
Yes. Tell me what your credit score is. Do you know?
I think last time I checked it was between good and very good.
Okay. And why is it that they're saying you're not going to be able to qualify without buying that rate down for the best rates and terms? Have they said?
They said that it was required by the government because of of the high interest rates that are right now set up.
Yeah.
The points are required.
No, that's not true. So I would not use that lender and move on to someone else. You'd always want to get 2 to 3 quotes for the mortgage when you're shopping for one. If you have a high to a very high credit score, you know, likely that's something over 700. Is this a home you're buying? Are you selling a home and then buying another one, or is this a first-time home purchase?
First-time home purchase, and I'm using a VA loan with no money down. That's part of the question.
Yeah, you know, even though the VA will allow you to do that, Milton, that's not my preferred approach. Do you have the ability to save for a down payment and delay this purchase?
Yeah, I'm able to put a down payment if I choose to.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I would recommend that you do that. I mean, typically, I like to see 20% going into the home. That way, you'd have some equity right at the beginning. And if the housing market were to turn down, and that's possible, I mean, we still have a shortage of homes in this country. So I don't think we're in a bubble by any means. But if we head into a recession, like most economists are still thinking that we will, we could see the housing market dip. I certainly wouldn't want you to be upside down. It's also going to help, you know, just to get that mortgage payment down as you put more in. Now, I don't want you to use up all of your liquid funds. I'd like for you to, you know, still have 3 to 6 months expenses in savings and then try to build up to a 20% down payment. And then the idea would be that you would attempt to keep that principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment, the mortgage payment, no more than 25% of your take-home pay. And if you did those things, you got the 3 to 6 months expenses, you've got your 20% down, you've got a mortgage payment no more than 25% of your take-home pay, that's going to really set you up nicely to make sure that you've got enough left for everything else so you're not just feeling the squeeze of this. But I think the bottom line is, even though the VA allows it, I'd like for you to put some money in. Would you be able to do that and still have at least 3 months worth of expenses in the bank?
Well, I think I have around over $50K on my savings account. And if okay. I buy a $250,000 house, I guess that's $25,000 if my math is correct. So I guess I still have some money left.
Yeah, well, that would be a 10% down payment. I'd love for you to put 20, but that would certainly be better than nothing. And then you'd have about $25,000 left for sure. If you go with a conventional mortgage, until you get to $25,000, you're going to have private mortgage insurance, which is just an additional cost that does nothing for you. It's really just to protect the lender. And that could be about 1% of the mortgage value annually. So, you know, that's another reason to look at possibly getting up to 20%. But 20% on a $250,000 home would take all of your liquid reserves. And so obviously, I don't want you to go there. So I think perhaps you need to revisit, you know, this VA loan. There shouldn't be a reason why you're required to buy that interest rate down. So I would get more information on that. I'd at least put 10% down. I'd prefer you wait until you can do 20, but I'd also love for you to have at least 3 months expenses remaining after the down payment. And that would mean that you have to wait, which is probably not a bad idea either, Milton, because I'd like for you to get a fixed rate mortgage. And with rates right now, you know, north of 6.5, that's not a very attractive rate. It's going to make the cost of homeownership a lot higher. So what if you were to wait until next year? Perhaps interest rates come back down in the second half of next year. You know, we're at least below 5, if not in the 4s, and it gives you time to continue to save. So you could do that 20% down payment and have some emergency funds remaining. Does that all make sense?
It makes a little sense. But I was wondering is that if I wait that long, I will have to be paying for rent.
Yeah.
And that's money that is pretty much lost.
That's true, but you've got to kind of keep the, you know, the long view in mind. Even though that's money that's not being used to build equity, you're also continuing to rent because you have an objective in mind. That objective is, number one, to continue to save so you can go into this home with a bigger down payment. But number two, you'd be looking to get more favorable interest rates, which, you know, you'd certainly could buy it now and then refinance a couple of years down the road. But there's an expense, you know, with that as well. That could run you 3-4% of the mortgage value for that refi. So if, you know, if you had the money today, I'd say you could go ahead and buy it and then refinance in a couple of years. But given that you don't have the ability to do the down payment, I'd prefer you rent, even though you're not building equity, if you have the ability to continue to save. I think that would be a better solution in the long run.
Yeah. The only downside of not buying now also is that I'm getting some closing costs paid by my employer because of my relocation. If I wait that long, I won't get that money.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. Well, then perhaps, you know, you consider doing, because that's going to be several thousand dollars that they would be putting into the deal. So I like that. I would at least put 10% down. I'd make sure that mortgage payment is no more than 25% of your take-home pay. And then I'd probably look to refinance in the next 2 to 3 years. Okay?
That sounds great. I appreciate it, Rob.
All right. God bless you, Milton. All the best to you in this move and with your new home purchase. We appreciate you calling today. Kevin, Max, we're coming your way right after this next break. So if you guys can hold the line, I'll look forward to being with you in just a moment. We do have a few lines open. We're taking your calls and questions today. The number 800-525-7000. Again, 800-525-7000. Quickly, an email before the break. This one from an anonymous writer, and the writer says, can you provide me with some suggestions for any compound interest products where I can grow my money? If you answer on the radio, please use the name anonymous, which I'm happy to do. Any savings account you get is going to be compound interest, just not a whole lot of it. If you don't like risk and need to keep your savings liquid, such as an emergency fund, I'd use an online savings account. Or if you want an institution that shares your values, you could use Christian Community Credit Union and join ChristianCommunity.com. But if you have at least 5 years, I would say invest in a diversified investment strategy, perhaps in a Roth IRA. That's where compounding is really going to shine very well. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Erin the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got two lines open for your calls today, 800-525-7000. Let's head right back to the phones. We'll head to Georgia in a moment, but first, Missouri. Hi, Kevin. Go right ahead, sir.
How you doing?
Doing great. How can I help?
Well, I have a question and really not sure exactly which way I want to go. I am retired. Social Security, and I got a military retirement and a state retirement and a VA disability coming in. So I got a decent income coming in. And my wife, she's blind, but not to the point where she could draw Social Security or anything, and she hasn't worked enough hours. Well, I've got a home we're paying for, and I don't know if I should be, if I pay the home off first or go to put a nest egg back, because I don't have a nest egg right now. And the thing of it is, if I've got life insurance, and if I die before my life insurance runs out, then, you know, she's going to do really well. But if my life insurance expires, she would more or less have to sell the house because she wouldn't have enough money coming in to pay everything. So yeah. Do I put a nest egg back, or do I pay the house off, or?
Yes. All right. It's a great question. The first thing with regard to the income, how much of this income would carry over to her as your spouse in the event of your death?
About $1,800 a month.
Okay. And currently, what are your monthly needs?
Probably $14.
Okay. But including the house payment?
Yes.
All right.
House payment's a little over $5.
Okay. So it sounds like she would have enough then to continue and maintain her lifestyle after your death, even without the life insurance. Is that right?
But no, because she's going to have to pay, taxes and insurances and stuff like that. And that's quite a bit too.
Okay. But so the total monthly expenses, including all of that, would be about how much?
No, I never did figure that quite up.
Okay.
You know, because I never escrowed or anything.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's the key, is we've got to figure out what are your true monthly expenses all in for the two of you. And then we've got to compare that to your income sources now, which, as you said, you know, you've got plenty coming in. And then you've got to look at what will be available for her, you know, that will continue as a spousal benefit beyond your death. And then at some point down the road, are you taking Social Security at this point?
Yes.
Okay. And so she'd get the spousal benefit of your Social Security when she gets to, you know, the point where she can take that. If she wants to take it early, she could take it at 62, or she could wait until full retirement age and get more. But that plus any other retirement income that would also carry over for the rest of her life, we've got to look at what that total number is. And hopefully the life insurance runs out after she would be able to qualify for a spousal benefit on Social Security. Is that right?
Well, but the issue is she's younger than I am. And we talked to Social Security and they said, well, she can't draw it until she's 62.
Correct.
And that's going to be, she's 21 years younger than I am.
Oh, okay. All right.
And so she can't draw that Social Security, you know, just yet.
No, sure. Okay. So
and
how
she
far?
She hasn't worked enough hours.
Yeah. She right. Don't... So she would need to claim the spousal benefit. So how many years away is she from 62?
Nineteen.
19 years. Okay. And how long will that life insurance run?
About another year, a little over another year.
All right. And what is your age?
I'll be 64 in July.
Okay. So one option is you look at a new 10-year term policy and just see what the cost would be on that, that would cover you an additional 10 years. And during that time, I think the key is for you all to focus on two things. One is you need an emergency fund. I'd love for you to have at least 6 months' expenses in reserves. And then second would be trying to pay off that house. Because if you had the ability to cover her for the next 10 years with a new term policy, and then by that time, you know, if the Lord were to call you home first, then the house is paid off. She's got the emergency fund. She's got the income sources coming in that hopefully without the mortgage payment allows her to, you know, continue to maintain your lifestyle or hers. And at that point, you know, she's only 10 years or 9 years away from being able to add the Social Security income on the spousal benefit.
Yeah. The bad part is this, she can't work because she's almost legally blind, but she is just under that limit, so she can't draw Social Security.
Yeah,
so she can't draw on the disability, and nobody will hire her with her vision, and she can't drive.
Yes,
and so I mean, she could sell the house and downsize if need be. But so, should I take the amount that I have left over that we have that's extras, and split it between principal payment and the other half on emergency fund?
Or just try to build the emergency fund up right now. Just focus on that. And then as soon as you build it up, then put 100% on the house. If you were to do that, have you run an amortization schedule to determine how quickly you could pay it off?
No, I have not.
Okay. So I think, you know, that's probably your next step is a couple of things. Number one is get that budget nailed down so you know exactly what those expenses are. And then secondly, let's look at how you can trim expenses to free up as much margin as you can. Let's try to, you know, spend whatever months we need to build up that emergency fund and then have your mortgage servicer, or you can do it online with a free, you know, online calculator, run an amortization schedule based on that additional amount you can add to the principal to see how quickly you'd be able to have that paid off. Also, the earliest a widow or widower can start receiving Social Security survivor's benefits is age 60. And so that would be another option, you know, that allows her to get it a couple of years earlier. And I think between perhaps this new term policy, accelerating the mortgage payoff, shoring up your emergency fund, and then her being able to take the survivor's benefits at 60 would perhaps get her to the place where she's got what she needs to cover her bills. But I think you need to do a little bit more planning and, you know, check all these numbers. That sound good?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for your call, Kevin. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Max, coming your way. Stay right there.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to the Hearts of Fire virtual event on July 14th. This is a one-of-a-kind virtual event that highlights stories from persecuted Christians around the world. This event will benefit the global body of Christ and inspire you in your own walk of faith. Hear from four persecuted Christians, plus join in worship along with Michael W. Smith. To register as an individual or host this event at your church, visit heartsevent.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, taking your calls and questions. We have room for one or two more. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Georgia, Max, you've been waiting patiently. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Rob. How's it going there?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Great. First time caller here.
Excellent.
I'm 71 years old right now. I have an IRA broker's account with about $172,000 in it. I'm trying to avoid minimum distribution. What's the best way to deal with that?
Yeah. So you said your age is what?
71.
Okay. So you've got a couple of years. They have been increasing that required minimum distribution age. So, for instance, the age was delayed to 73 this year. If you turn 72 after December 31st, 2022, which you would, and then eventually it's going even higher. So you're not going to have to take that as quickly as perhaps you expected to. But when the time comes for you to take that RMD, are you needing any of this money, Max, or are your bills covered?
Bills are covered right now.
Very good. So one of the great options that you have inside an IRA is something called a qualified charitable distribution. Have you heard of that term?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So that would be a great option. When the RMD does start, you can satisfy that RMD each year by making a distribution out of that account direct to a ministry or charity or your church. And you could do that in lieu of money you are going to send out of your checking or savings account, which just means you get to hang on to that money. You send it directly from your IRA. It satisfies your required minimum for the year. But even more than that, it doesn't get added to your adjusted gross income like a distribution normally would from your IRA. So everybody kind of wins in that scenario. So that would be a great option for you to either do additional giving or to replace giving that you were already planning to do out of cash and just do it out of the IRA instead. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. But the bottom line is, if you're not going to have that that RMD until you're 73, because you'll reach 72 following December 31st of last year. So you're now going to be under that that higher age.
Yes. And how far out can you use that RMD? Not RMD, but the the charitable giving.
Yeah, well, you can do that up to $100,000 with that RMD, so that you can do as much as you want. Are you saying that if you did it now, would it go ahead and satisfy the RMD down the road?
Yes.
No, yeah, you'd need to do the distribution in the year of the required minimum. So you can't do it in advance. You could go ahead and do it. It's just not going to go toward your required minimum when that time comes. It would just be additional giving. But it would be a way, if you wanted to do some giving now, for you to go ahead and do it out of your IRA without adding anything to your taxable income for the year.
It sounds good. Excellent.
All right. And you could bless your church or a ministry at the same time. So what you'd want to do is just contact your custodian, whoever is you get your statements from your IRA. Let them know you want to do a qualified charitable distribution. You're over age 70 and a half, so you can do that. And then just let the ministry or your church know it's coming. You fill out the paperwork, and they'd send the stocks or, you know, whatever it is, and then they'd sell them or take the cash, use 100% of that. There's no taxes paid, and, you know, you would be able to do some giving as the Lord leads. So I love that strategy, Max, and I'm glad you raised it today. If we can help you further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. May the Lord bless you, sir. To Kentucky, hi, Mona. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm very grateful for your show and take away a lot of tips, but I've never heard, I can't listen every day, but I've never heard my situation. And so I have become the guardian of my father, who has dementia, after my mother passed away 6 months ago. And I am a fiduciary as well as the personal guardian or guardian of person. And so I just sold my father's house. I had to sell both cars. And so he has over the FDIC insured amount of money in the bank currently. I just sold the house 3 weeks ago. And the difficulty for me is I am under the need of anything that I open to be a guardianship account, right? And so I have an emergency fund of 6 months and a non-brick-and-mortar bank that was paying a higher interest rate before the brick-and-mortar banks caught up. And I contacted them just to put the money in a place where I still have access to it, because I have to pay for the memory care facility that he's in. And he, so nonetheless, they don't do a guardianship account. So I'm kind of running into those problems where the current bank, where my father was banking, they were able to open a guardian account right away for me. After my bank took 35 days of still asking for additional paperwork, my dad's bank opened it in 20 minutes. So I have this excess money, and I am working with a wealth management person from the bank. But my concern is the money remaining in the bank, right? So he has about $150,000 more than what the FDIC would insure in this bank. And that makes me a little nervous. It is a national bank, but nonetheless, it still makes me nervous. And so I want to try and find options. He does have he has four different mutual funds, but I also have had problems with them in getting them to work with me for guardianship. That took months. And I understand they don't want people to steal people's money. I really do get that. They don't know me though. Right. So, they don't know that if I stole, I answer to a higher authority that well, I don't want to answer to God. So,
sure.
So I need to figure out what I'm doing with this money. You know, like, they're suggesting an annuity. And I'm not very familiar with annuities, and I've had other people caution me on annuities, and I just don't know what I'm doing, frankly.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I think temporarily it's very possible to get more than the FDIC limit of $250,000 in one bank if they have this feature available. Oftentimes they will take in place differing amounts with, you know, banks in their network, and they'll manage it all out of one account, but they'll move it around for you so that you're not above the $250,000 limit in any one bank. They may use the IntraFi network or some other, you know, cash sweep type account, but basically they place the money within a network of banks so that you have no more than the limit. So that might be something to ask about. You may need to move to another bank to get that done. Obviously, it'd be great if you could stay right there, but just see if they can make that feature available to you. If not, you can do that yourself. You just have to open a second account, you know, to get the additional coverage, because the only other way to do it is to have a different type titled account, but this all needs to be titled in the same way, so that's not going to work for you. That would solve the temporary issue, and then the question longer term is, what's the best way for you to handle this money, just given your father's needs? What are you looking to do with the money? I mean, are you... does he need to draw an income from it, or are you just wanting to protect it? What's really your main goal here?
Well, it's both, because between his Social Security, two pensions, and a VA disability, he gets two-thirds of what he needs for his memory care.
Yeah. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. We'll finish up on the other side. If you can hold right there, Mona, we'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
You've got Christians who love Jesus and they have kids and they're just like, I just don't know what my calling is.
Right.
Will and Mickey Addison.
What is it that Jesus wants me to do? I feel like I'm a teacher.
And that's that's why when you go to the scripture and talk about equipping the saints for work of ministry, you should look inside first. It can be right, you know, at your address.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here in our final segment, taking as many calls as we can, 800-525-7000. We've got two Marys holding, one in Tennessee, one in Texas. Mary and Mary, we're coming your way in just a moment. Before the break, we were talking to Mona. Mona has taken guardianship for her father, who has dementia, and recently sold his house for more than the FDIC-insured amount. So we were talking about how she could perhaps ask her bank to exceed the $250,000 limit by placing it within a network of banks, or she could do that herself. But there's also just this question of what to do with the money to generate the income that he needs. Mona, you were saying about two-thirds of his monthly need for memory care and his expenses comes from guaranteed income sources, but that one-third still needs to come from perhaps other assets. Is that right?
That's correct. And all so right. Between what we approximate is with the sale of the two cars or the house and all the belongings, that money is enough to cover his care for the next 4 or 5 years. So I need some access to the money, but I also need to protect the money, right? Because if my dad is 84, his grandma lived to be 99,
sure.
And she had dementia later in life. So he could very well live another 15 years, right?
Sure.
Or not. I don't know.
So what do you have from the proceeds of the home and all these other assets? What's the total amount that you have available?
It's about $400,000.
All right. And what is the monthly need that he has per month, this one-third that's not already covered?
About $2,100.
Okay. Because, you know, typically I'd say, let's try to invest that. And, you know, we could pull 4% a year. That's 16,000. That's not going to quite get it done, you know, because that's 1300 a month. But even if you bump that up to, you know, 2000 a month, 24,000 a year, you know, it's going to start to, you know, eat away at this money, but it should last, you know, longer than just a few years. You know, if you have 400,000 and you pull, you know, you wouldn't even need 8%. You'd need 6% a year and you get 24,000. That's 2,000 a month. I mean, you know, I would, that's a little more than I would like, but it's not an inordinate amount of money where this is still going to last a good while. So what I'd probably do is set aside, you know, maybe 6 months expenses in a savings account that's earning, you know, right now 4%+ a year. And then I would take the rest and hire an advisor who could build a portfolio that, you know, has the majority of this in bonds, which will do well as interest rates fall, and then a stock portion that's going to add a little bit of growth over time, and then just set up an automatic transfer to his checking account of whatever you need per month, you know, right out of the account. And the advisor would plan on that, and let's just, you know, see if we can make this money last as long as possible.
Am I allowed to do that as a fiduciary guardian, work with an advisor and move with money like that? That I'm unsure of because I've never been anyone's guardian.
Yeah. I mean, you should. Do you have a power of attorney over the situation?
I have the higher status, which is the guardian.
Yeah. Got it.
So
yeah.
That means I'm acting as my father.
Okay. Yeah. So you're able to do what's in his best interest, which in this case, you're just trying to protect and grow his money so you can, you know, cover the needs that he has on a monthly basis. So that would be my next step for you is to find that advisor that could help you set up the investment plan and create the passive income stream back for covering his bills, but also have the ability to grow this over time. Do you have an advisor that you would want to work with?
Well, I have an advisor myself, but I, from listening to your show, I'm going to switch to a Kingdom advisor. Okay. But I have not been able to do so because between my mom getting diagnosed with terminal cancer and being the main caregiver of my father, and they live 10 hours from me. So I have had a very rough 9 months with my mom passing, trying to take guardianship of my father, get him moved and, you know, him moved back to Cleveland, Ohio, where we're from.
Sure.
Right. So it's just been very, very. And I'm one person, right? I'm trying to have a career and I'm trying to
I get it. You got a lot on you right now.
So,
well, there's some wonderful CKAs there in Ohio, if that's, you know, where you'd like the relationship to be. But you can just head to our website, faithfi.com, click find a CKA. That'd be where I would go next, Mona, but you're doing a great job. I know you've got a lot on you. Can I pray for you before we go?
Thank you. That would be nice, Rob.
All right. Father, we just lift Mona up to you. Lord, she's got a large responsibility on her. And so we just ask that you'd give her wisdom, you'd give her endurance. Lord, as she is navigating all of these decisions and caring for her dad, which we know just honors you, Lord, we just ask that you'd be near to her. You'd give her an extra portion of strength in the midst of this, and you'd surround her with just godly advisors where needed. And Lord, we just tell you today, we love you and we trust you. And we just ask that you'd watch over her dad in this season of life as well, Lord. And we ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Mona, God bless you. And thanks for calling. If we can help further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. Let's head to Tennessee. Hi, Mary. Go right ahead. Mary, are you with us? All right, we're going to see if we can get Mary back on the line. We'll head to another Mary in Texas. Mary in Texas, go ahead.
Yes, I am retired. I am was widowed, and I married a widower, so we have things separate. I'm selling my separate home and was wondering, I want to keep my money fairly liquid because it's possible I would like to buy maybe some vacation property or something.
Okay.
But would you, it's going to be, I'm going to say approximately $200,000.
Okay.
And I was wondering, is it better to just put that in a bank, maybe in some laddered CDs, or put it in the with my financial advisor or split it? What would you recommend?
Yeah. Mary, what is the time horizon on this? How quickly do you think you might use this money?
I don't know.
Okay. Could it
probably
be in the last?
I'm going to say probably the next year.
Okay. Yeah. So I wouldn't invest it. I wouldn't necessarily put it with your advisor. I think, you know, right now there's a great opportunity, even without locking it up, in a CD, to get more than 4% in a high yield savings account. So you could go to bankrate.com and just do a quick search and see which of the online banks that are highly rated have the best high yield savings accounts right now with FDIC insurance. And with the amount you're talking about, with a couple of $100,000, you're under that FDIC insurance limit. So you've got the backing of the full faith and credit of the United States government. But being able to earn 4% on this money, I mean, if you have, you know, $200,000, you could bring in another $8,000 in the next 12 months, and it's completely liquid and safe. And I think with that time horizon, that's the right approach. I mean, you could get another percent or so with a one-year CD, but, you know, you also would lose access to it if you decided you wanted to do something a little quicker. So I think you could go either route, but just given the short time horizon here, I'd probably go with a high-yield savings.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
All right, Mary. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We may have room for one more question today as we tackle what you're dealing with financially today. Hey, let me mention something to you. You know, so often as we think about our financial lives, we can allow finances and the things that money can buy to become an idol in our lives. A 17th century mathematician and theologian Blaise Pascal said this. He said, "There's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator made known through Jesus Christ." You see, folks, God made people for relationship with Himself, which is why we have that God-shaped hole in our hearts. Unfortunately, men and women have been choosing other things besides God since the beginning of time. Often the things we try to cram into that God-shaped vacuum are related to money. Everything would be great, we say, if we only had more money or a bigger investment portfolio or a bigger house or a different job or financial security. Now, here's the thing, though. The minute you put yourself and your own financial desires in the center of your life, well, you've created an idol there. And I can do this just as easily as you can. An idol replaces the Lord in your mind and your heart and has no power to satisfy you. Work can become an idol. All kinds of things can become an idol. And so what we need to do is get back to recognizing God is our true treasure, and He needs to be at the center of our lives, and we can't allow anything to replace Him in our hearts. Let's be on our guard against that, because it's so easy to do in our materialistic culture. All right, we've got Mary back with us from Tennessee. We're going to take this as our last call today. And Mary, delighted to have you back. Go right ahead. How can I help you? Hi, Mary. Are you with us?
I am.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. How can I help you?
Okay. I want to know how I go about doing the transfer on death for my house. I've got everything in my will, and I've got everything as beneficiary to my two sons. The only thing we have to go through probate is my house. I'd like to know how to avoid that.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mary, you're in Tennessee, correct?
Yes.
Tennessee does not allow a transfer on death deed. So it unfortunately, that's not going to be an option there. So really, your two options are, one, just to handle it through your will, which means it would go through probate, or you'd have to set up a trust, a living trust. And that could, in fact, allow you to pass the home outside of probate. I'd probably just schedule a meeting with a godly estate planning attorney just to talk about it. And find out what the cost would be. If you don't have one, you could head to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA. And any one of those certified Kingdom advisors would be able to give you a referral. Mary, I'm glad we got you back on today, although I wish I had better news for you. God bless you. That's going to do it for us today, folks. So thankful to have you along with us today. I'm grateful for my team, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague. Absolutely could not do it without them. You have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow as we round out the week. May the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.